Let church say amen. That was beautiful. We always thank the Swisher family for their contribution. And I'm going to tell you, Rodney used to be reserved. And so that was impressive. No, Rodney. Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you, that was wonderful. That was wonderful. So we don't want to hear people excuses that you can't grow, that you can't develop, you can't learn new skills, because that was an example right there of how you can work to make a weakness or an opportunity a strength. Amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to close this portion, this watch. So let's give every participant a hand and give God a hand for them. And look, read a book. Put this in a book, in your Bible. Put it in something. Start with John. Start with John, right? In the beginning, wasn't it? Start somewhere, right? Don't throw it outside. At least take it home if you're going to throw it out. All right. And the last thing I'll say before we close, you know, them Longhorns won today. All right, and so we got to do this in the name of Bevo. All right, Texas. Fire. Texas. Fire. Texas. Fire. Amen.
I'm going to get up here and follow this hand. Thanks, William. You want to stand up and stretch a minute? Stand up and stretch and say hi to everybody. Thank you so much for greeting one another. The love and presence of God. Oh God, our help in ages past and our hope for years to come. We gather tonight in this final day of the year to thank the Lord for all he has done and continues to do for us. This is one small, so minute, just a small particle of God's creation. And we're happy that God included us. Because there are people all over this world who are looking for a word from God. And as Brother Melton said, they may not even know what they're looking for until it actually hits them. And so we're asking that the Lord sprinkle every blessing on every part of his creation, whether that be human, whether that be animal or plant. Because God made it all, and we have to live in unity. And I like the fact that Sister Swisher reminded us of the unity of nature, because it all is in God's hands. We're going to start off this praise and worship service with an opening hymn, which is my favorite. I think it's Sister Ellison's favorite too, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And also, it was the theme for our musicale this year, Tune My Heart to Sing Thy Grace. So we'll open up with come thou fount of every blessing.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming. I raise my Ebenezer, here by thy great help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed his precious blood. Oh, that day when freed from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face. Clothed then in blood-washed linen, how I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry, take my ransom soul away. Send thine angels now to carry me to realms of endless day. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I am constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
Good evening, everyone. I'm going to read a scripture this evening from the passage of 1 Peter, the first chapter, the 13th verse. Be holy. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. The word of God.
Good evening again. It's not lost on us the fact that we, the family of Ebenezer Third Baptist Church, are gathered here tonight. So I like what you said, William, about your song, scripture, and prayer. So it looks like a family affair with my brother-in-law and myself. And I'm going to provide the prayer. So let us pray. Almighty God, the author of creation, we come this evening wanting to first thank you for your grace and mercy, because Father God, on December 31st, 2025 is how we mark time. But there are those during this past year who have closed their eyes and never opened them again. And we're reminded of that because you continue to wake us up each morning. You continue to bless Ebenezer Third Baptist Church. So, Father, we ask a blessing upon this December 31st watch night service as we bring in the new year. We know that you're infinite and you're timeless. And, you know, it's not 2025 to you or 2026 to you. You're the creator. So, Father God, let us look forward and look to you during this coming year. Bless us and keep us. Bless Ebenezer Third Baptist Church and the members of Ebenezer Third Baptist Church as we bring in this new year and as we continue into 2026. Keep us, Father. Teach us love. In thy son Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good evening, Ebenezer. Please make sure, if you haven't had an opportunity to do so, to read the information about the historical legacy of Watch Night that's so eloquently included in our bulletin. Tonight, I am going to do a Watch Night reflection, but I want you to start by my reflection by standing, and we're going to do a call and response hymn. And if you stand, I'll call the first verse and you follow me. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord until I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord until I die. I'm going to watch, fight, and pray. I'm going to watch, fight, and pray. I'm going to watch, fight, and pray until I die. I'm going to watch, fight, and pray. I'm going to watch, fight, and pray. I'm going to watch, fight, and pray until I die. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. Now that we have confirmed our trust in the Lord as we watch, fight, and pray, let us take a moment to be meditative. If you feel comfortable, close your eyes for just a few seconds and take a deep, deep breath like this. And just meditate on the quietness that's in this house. Tonight, we gather on this sacred ground. Before this night was a celebration, it was a vigil. Before it was a tradition, it was a prayer. Imagine the night of December 31st, 1862. There were no clocks on the wall, no certainty in the air. Only faith carried one heart to another. Families gathered in churches and in quiet spaces. They sang, they whispered prayers, they waited, not knowing what morning would bring, but believing that God was still at work. This was Watch Night, a night of watching and waiting and trusting that freedom would come, even if it did not come all at once. You may open your eyes if you haven't already done so. As we stand here tonight, we remember those who waited before us. Those who prayed for freedom, they may never have fully seen. Those who held onto hope when hope was something that was very costly. Those who believed that midnight could bring a new day and a new life. Now gently bring your thoughts into this moment, to this December 31st, 2025. We too are watching. We watch over our families and our children. We watch over our neighborhoods and our communities. We watch over our beloved Ebenezer Third Baptist Church. We watch over a world still learning what freedom means. In this quiet moment, ask yourself, what am I waiting for? What freedom am I praying for in this new year? What hope am I carrying forward? Watch Night reminds us that freedom begins in faith, that changes begin in prayer, and that waiting is not passive. It is powerful. As we prepare to enter a new year, we should all give thanks for the ancestors who watched through the night, for the strength that carried them, and it still carries us, for the promise that God meets and guides us while we are waiting. May we leave this place remembering, hoping, praying, trusting, and watching. Amen.
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 And to God be the glory.
Okay, the Lord will make a way somehow. And that's why I said him, because he said, I'll never leave you. Never see. And that's the kind of God I serve. Because he won't leave me. And I don't plan to leave him. I plan to live a life that is pleasing in his sight. So I love the Lord.
And what does...
And I study to show myself approved unto him. A workman that what? Needeth not to be afraid. That's the kind of God I serve.
All right now. And how does that apply to Christmas for you?
Christmas is because he gave his life. And he's and around me at all times. And so I live and he lives a life. And I try to live a life that's pleasing to him and to others that see me and want to live for Christ and want to give his life that we might have life, that he might have life, and that I might have it forever and ever. Because I love the Lord. And he said he loves us. Mm-hmm. So that means we have to live a life that is pleasing in his sight. So we pray daily that we can live so God can use us. Anytime, any place, and anywhere. Because the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. That's the kind of God that I serve. So everything I have, he gives me.
And what's your
and I look to him, from whence cometh all of my help, because all of my help and love comes from him. So I just pray that all of the people that I see and talk with, they would also understand what it means to serve a true and a living God. Blessings be on you forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
It's all such a blessing. We remember Sister Coleman, one of the matriarchs of this church. And we're still going on. I'm a matriarch now. I don't know whether a good one or a bad one, but I'm a matriarch of this church now. Never thought I'd be here. Yesterday I was 40, today I'm 76. Who knows what happens in the process. So what I'm saying is that at one time I came to this church, I was 26 years old, and I never left. Been here ever since. Been through many changes since I've been here. I don't know what brought me here. I simply know that somebody told me about the churches around here, and this one sounded like the one I was a member of when I was in Magnolia, Mississippi. So we don't know what brings people to a church. We don't know what brings people to sit in these pews and decide to want to become a part of this family. But I'd like to introduce to you those who have come to join us at this family and be a part of God, the body of Christ here at Ebenezer Baptist Church. Would you come forth if you're a new member of Ebenezer this year? You just joined this year. This is John Melton. You've met him already. This is Pastor Nathan Robertson, Jr. This is Lewis Roth and his wife, Ann Roth, and they came to join us this year. We've had a wonderful story from Brother Melton tonight, and praise God that you came to join us. We're so happy to have you be a part of this family.
Thank you.
Pastor, you and your family have blessed us long before you joined. So we're just happy that you came to be an official member of the Ebenezer Baptist Church. You can't leave us now. You're pretty much stuck with us. Lewis, these are members of my Sedum class. Not you, Pastor. But they've been, you're going through the new members class, both of you, and you two have finished the new members class. So if you have a word to say or something you'd like to proclaim to this congregation at this time, please take it away. No. You'll have your
chance. You don't have, you can sit down.
Yeah, I'll stay.
You know you're long-winded. I'm long-winded?
Yes, you
are. Like, well, you know, our story is kind of, it goes all the way back to, August of 2024. If you really want to get the flavor of what we're doing, we were happy. We were in good shape. We were at Bertram First Baptist. I was teaching Sunday school. We had started a ministry where we were doing videos for new believers, and we put it on TikTok, and we had lots of followers, and we called it discipleship. We were doing this. Everything was fine, except for our income was starting to drop. I was an Uber and Lyft driver, and for some reason in 2024, everybody's income was low. In fact, some guys I heard later lost their homes and that sort of thing. So August 24 comes along, and my transmission went out. And lo and behold, I did not have a spare $5,000 to fix it. I went, oh no, what happens now? And so a while back, I was a guest speaker, and we had talked about abiding in the Lord. And so that would be my theme. How do we get through problems? How is it that you can handle what happens? Is it an ATM? No. Do your problems get fixed? No. But I think your perspective of what's going on is so much different if you will abide in the Lord. And so if you stick with that, all these things that I'm going to tell you happened to us, one thing after another, it just happened, and like, God, what's that going to happen next? Yeah, I don't know. So we lost the transmission. We had help from the church for the first month. We got that rent. Second month, a Catholic organization helped us out. The third month, I forgot the organization, but they only gave $850. And I went, oh no, this is not good. So sure enough, December 18th rolls around, and I get this letter saying, you need to get out in 2 days. How is this going to work out? So back up a little bit. I had already told the Lord I didn't know how to fix this. You know, I'd been solving problems on my own, rushing around, fixing stuff on my own. And I said, you need to handle this, because this is way beyond anything that I can handle. I'm not earning the money. The job at the substitute teacher job wasn't going to start. I didn't even get paid until first check didn't come until January. So, okay. So I wrote a letter, go, I can't move till this weekend. And so a bunch of guys from the church helped us. So you just see, I could see the Lord working, but not necessarily in the way I wanted. How many have been through that before? It's not the way you wanted. It's the way he saw. As it turns out, I haven't driven for Uber and Lyft for a long time. And I see now the Uber wants to pedal their driverless cars. So things are limited. You know, you just see how the Lord's working. That got me out of that before that became a disaster. So we're with it. Oh, yes. So we're told to get out. I managed to drag it out to the seventh because it was the holidays and I couldn't get people to help me move and we couldn't get everything out of there. And you know, we didn't have a chance to go through and prune everything before we got moved out because they said 2 days. So we just started packing and managed to get boxes. And so the seventh rolls out and we go, okay, this is it. We are officially homeless. We don't have any place to live. You know, I tried calling different people. Oh yeah, the church did give me a car, which was good. Unfortunately, I totaled it. So, I couldn't go to work and that, so I managed to walk everywhere in Liberty Hill. So there are, you know, things happen to you and you just do what you have to do and you just go, Lord, this is for you to fix. So it gets better. I was calling a friend of mine because I knew he might actually have a spare room and he wouldn't answer the phone. So I call and I call and I call. I'm like, come on, Lord, I need to talk to this guy, right? So I call his wife and I hear little kids in the background. I went, okay, no spare room there. But when I did get a hold of him, he had a car he was going to give away. I got the car. So we're homeless. We have this new car, and I'm thinking to myself, please don't let this be home sweet home. These are the thoughts that we're going through. So you have to go into Austin. If you're homeless, you have to go into Austin. You have to fill out endless paperwork so you're on everybody's list. And so we did that, and we hear him say, hey, you know, there's a shelter open. It was cold, actually. If you remember last January, it was cold. And so they opened this shelter, and I heard, I went. Let me tell you, it was so comfortable. You have this rod of a cot right in your back. So sleeping is a chore. And it's safe to say you've never heard snoring this bad in your life. I'm telling you, I've never heard snoring that bad. And that was one dude and everybody. But they kept saying, hey, there's someone you need to talk to. In the morning, he probably can help you. And so we talked to this constable guy in the morning. So we got, you know, fed and all that. And he says to us, he goes, you're too old to be homeless. Okay. No problem there. I don't disagree with that, you know, but so there's one of these shelters that you have to get in a waiting list or whatever, you know, he got us in. So, the story here is that we never spent a day outdoors. We could have. We had a car. We could have slept anywhere, I guess. But I'm cold. I'm sorry. Shivering up here. But I'm watching this going, okay. I told God he needed to solve it. And here it comes, you know. And I'm thinking, okay, this is good. So we're at the homeless shelter. I applied for early Social Security. It came within a couple of weeks. I'm thinking, all right, everything's, you can tell already something's going to fall, right? So everything was good. We got our money. We got some money coming in. We're looking for places to live, senior living, you know, is the best deal for us. Everything's all right. So February 12th rolls around. I'm subbing for these older special needs kids. For whatever reason, I'm running around the gym with them. I'm looking back for a pass. Cross my feet. Trip. Break my leg. So, you know, and so a lot of people might have been mad at God, but it's like, okay, I don't know what's going on, but we'll just roll with this. Don't get me wrong. It was painful. I spent the whole night in the ER. There was some more good snoring there, but, 3 weeks I was in the hospital. That's when I got to know the pastor real well. I would call him, this is what's going on, you know, just to let him know. And I would get on Wednesday nights in my hospital gown and people go, hey, you're in your hospital gown. Yep. So that was 3 weeks, for various reasons. And so, that's as much as I can remember. I mean, for someone who used to be very productive and, you know, having fruit from my activity is kind of weird not having it. But I'll tell you what, in the hospital, I couldn't figure out what I was doing there, but I told everyone my story. I told everyone who would listen, I told them my story. This is what God did in my life, you know? So I didn't know if that was the exact reason, but I didn't hesitate. Why not? I mean, a lot of other good things. I mean, if you look at me now, I'm walking. Probably Fanny is the one who always used to help me bring in my, I was in a walker probably 3 weeks, then a cane for another 3 weeks or 4 weeks, and now I'm walking 2 miles. So when you get right down to it, I'm kind of back to where I was and ready to bear fruit. Right, Pastor? So I'm more than ready. So that's our story, and it's not done yet. But how did we get here? Way back in January, we started looking around for churches when we were at the shelter, and I think this is the only one we looked at. We heard the pastor, we liked his doctrine, everything sounded okay, the music was good. There was a Bible study, which we attended, and so, you know, this is where, and I think in January we walked up pretty early in the whole process and joined this church. But it took a lot of things to get me down here. So if that's God's plan to have me come down here and bear fruit, then I guess that's what it was. Is it sure seemed like it was complicated. So that's our story. I finish in time.
Thank you, Brother Roth and Sister Roth. And, you know, this is come to see them. These are my students, except for Pastor. He's not my student. But the Roths and Brother Milton, those are my students and see them. So we'd love to see you there. We have a good time. I used to call it Sunday School and Discipleship Training. We just combined them, and I think you'd enjoy it. Please, family, let's look for other people who need a church home. Let's look for people who are lost, not just in the kinds of turmoil that we think, but there are people like Brother Milton said, I just never believed in Jesus or the church. And there are people out there who still don't believe. And there are people who believe who are lost, period. They just don't know how to make their way back. And so we need to make sure we pray for those people who are looking for a way back to Christ. And let us be that church that sits on a hill, you know, that light that shines, so people will want to know what do we need to do to be saved. So we thank you, new members. We are going to listen to the song that we learned probably in prayer meeting one night. And it's called They'll Know We're Christians by Our Love. If you know it, join in with us. It's one of our favorites, so.
By our love, yes, they'll know we are. Good evening. Well, when I was asked to give a testimony, my first thought was, what am I going to say? So I prepared a few bullet notes to sort of keep me on track and keep me from wandering. In preparation, I thought of the poem, Footprints in the Sand, which contains these key thoughts. Walking along the beach with my Lord, there are two sets of footprints, one belonging to me and one to the Lord. Looking back at my life, I noticed many times there was only one set of footprints in the sand, which troubled me, and I asked the Lord about it. The Lord replied that once I decided to follow him, he would walk with me always. And during the saddest and hardest, most troubling times, when there was only one set of footprints, those were the times that I carried you. This poem is a reflection of my testimony. A deacon once said, it is a challenge knowing when God is doing something different in your life, with us, for us, or through us. Looking back at different times in my life, there are events that were life-changing, like accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior, finding love, getting married, the birth of children, or the death of loved ones. I have survived illnesses, surgeries, accidents, and some near misses, which are all blessings, and I have also experienced sadness, heartache, and grief. Each of these might be God doing something different in my life. However, the day after Christmas last year was one of those times when it became obvious that God carried me and covered me. And I became a walking testimony of God's miraculous power and grace. I'm a motorcyclist. And that day, I was minding my own business, riding my bike. Through no mistake on my part, a car in an adjacent lane to me, to my left, decided that I don't know what they decided, but they swerved and overcorrected and wiped me out. That person lost control of the vehicle while we were traveling down I-35. Now, instantaneously, a million thoughts flooded into my mind when in front of me, I am looking at the side of a vehicle as I'm traveling down the highway. And one of my early thoughts was, this is not good. This will not end well. And my first instinct was to try to ride it out, but I didn't have time to check the lane to my right to see if it was clear for me to move over and try to avoid. So while all of this is racing through my mind, the impact was so hard, it threw me off the bike. Now, I wear a helmet, and I know I flipped at least one time before hitting the pavement. I never lost consciousness, and when I basically came to rest on the side of the road, I began to take note of what happened and how badly I was injured. And needless to say, God had me covered. I saw it about to happen. I saw it happening. I didn't hit any kind of fixed object. and I didn't get run over. And I dreaded the call that was going to be needing to be made to my wife. Now, these events were life-altering, and they were definitely something different. However, it also was a message that God had not finished with me yet. And now I must identify what He has planned for me and fulfill those plans.
Okay, hi. My name is Regina Temple Grimes, and my mother was Lawrence Temple, and my father was Brandon Temple, and they went, well, my mother went here for 50 plus years, and she wrote for St. John's, and she wrote for the young adults and the children's for Ebenezer. Look into the future. She did a lot of work with discipleship training, and I would like to see more young people come to our church and not let Ebenezer just die on the vine, because we don't have anyone to pass the baton to. I don't know how to fix it. I don't know what to do, but I know that we can together if we work together. And I look forward to new opportunities and new ways of worshiping and accepting and working with each other, because God said where there is unity, He commands the blessing. So let's just work together in the coming year. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. God bless you.
Hello, my name is Betty Jo Hudspeth. I'm Deaconess Betty Jo Hudspeth, and I've been at Ebenezer since 1978. And I am just so happy that God is using us in order to do what He wants us to do. Here at Ebenezer, I'm looking forward to God's way of doing what He has already put in place for us. We are going to grow. We're going to do whatever God have us to do. And I am willing to step into the plate and let God use us, not me, but let God use and guide the way. I would like to wish you a merry, merry Christmas. And aren't we thankful for what God has done for us already?
Well, my name is John Foster Melton, and my vision for Ebenezer is to grow and expand the church and to new communities and new people, and happy to be here.
Good morning. My name is Lydia Ann Westmore. I am a member of Ebenezer Third Baptist Church since I was a young child. It has been a privilege and a pleasure to be a member of this church. I would say for me, Ebenezer has grown and done marvelous things over the years for the community on the east side of Austin. I would expect as we grow in the near future that we will see an expansion in the services, expansion with the ministries that we have, and expansion in the buildings. We have such an opportunity to share in this community and to make an impact with many people who may or may not already have a church home. So I do hope that we will continue as we spread the word to bring in new members and to train those of us that have already come and profess a belief in Christ, that we would indeed serve and work with our fellow man, that people will be able to have a better chance in life, and that God will be with us as we go. We thank you, we love you, and we honor you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this opportunity.
My name is Carolyn Proctor. I've been here for 30 years, I believe, and it's been a long journey, but I have definitely enjoyed being here at Ebenezer Baptist Church. Merry Christmas to everyone. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Linda Ellison. A new day is coming for Ebenezer that is filled with the hope of Jesus. That is my new vision for Ebenezer. It is a renewed commitment to unity, service, and leadership that is inspired by our faith in Jesus. Our leadership team is committed to transparency, effective communication, and upholding integrity and trust as we advance together, getting the work of the church done successfully. our leaders will recognize everyone's strengths and guide us to serve more and to give more.
My name is Stephen Webb. My vision for Ebenezer is that it makes this transition from the Ebenezer of the past to the Ebenezer of the future, that brings in new members and continues to provide service to the community like it always has this last 150 years. I'd like to wish everyone a happy new year.
Hello, I'm Rady Kennedy, and I'm excited about Ebenezer for 2026. I'm just looking forward to our youth groups growing and our church growing. So I wish everybody a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi, I'm Tracy Ann Richard, and I'm a longtime Ebenezer member since the first and second grade. I'm the one that makes the flowers if someone orders them, and my vision is to sit down with members and friends and make flowers together so that we can always have flowers anytime we want. Teach the people how to make them. Merry Christmas, 2025.
Hello, my name is Jennifer Durst. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And my vision for Ebenezer is for us to grow together in unity, and that we grow into having more members coming to Ebenezer that can be with us, and that we can grow spiritually together here at Ebenezer. Ebenezer is a historical church, and that we always was there in the community working and doing. And we want to continue to do that into the new year that's coming for us, and that we know that we will be able to share with others in the community in Ohio the love and the care that Ebenezer has. And we want to continue that. And I know that we can. And we just want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hello, Ebenezer family. Our surrounding community has changed, and many of us no longer live near. We have a new pastor and family. 2026 will be truly a new year for us. My vision is that we will use our voice united and in one accord. My hope is that our efforts will be responsive to those near and those distant. I believe Ebenezer is a supernatural church composed of supernatural people, and with our supernatural pastor, we can do all things through Christ, laboring for his glory. Merry Christmas, everyone.
My name is Roland C. Hayes. I'm a member of Ebenezer Baptist Church. I've been a member of this church for over 50 years. I'm also a trustee, and I sing in the choir. My family, my wife who passed this past March, our children were raised in this church. We have four children, and they are all members of Ebenezer. Ebenezer has been a very important part of our life. In fact, it's been the greatest part of our life. And since we've been in Austin, we've been here since around 1970. We came here from Fort Worth, Texas. I work at Austin Community College, and I've taught at Austin Community College since it's been open, 1973. And Ebenezer has been a very intricate part of our existence. It's a great place.
Hello, Ebenezer family. Carrie Swisher with grandchildren Sydney Banks. And we want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And my vision as a member of Ebenezer is to grow, to prosper, and to bring in more, a combination of the old Ebenezer when my kids were little growing up, and the new Ebenezer when grandkids and nieces and nephews come, help us grow stronger in love and joy.
Yes. My vision for Ebenezer is for it to be a place where everyone, no matter how different you are, could come to worship Jesus and just worship and feel comfortable Christina.
And Sydney?
For Ebenezer is for everyone and wish for peace and wish for joy.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from the Swisher Banks family.
Hi, I'm Tristan Ringer, and I wanted to wish everybody.
Good evening to everyone. Giving all praise to God, to Dr. Janice Bryan, Minister West, to all of you that is present. We do thank God for this year. Amen. I remember us here on last year and all the eighth and all of that for 25, all the things, future we didn't know. God solved a lot of them and answered them and finished them. But we still have a journey to go. Last year I started a series because this is a meditation and it's a different type of speaking engagement for me in that I can't write it with an ending because it can end any minute. At some point, Janet is going to just say stop, and I will just stop. So it creates a unique speaking engagement for me, or speaking opportunity. But it reminds me of another unique conversation with Jesus and Nicodemus. And I call it Nick at Night. Because I think it's something really important about that conversation. For several reasons. One is in the Bible. That really helps. And then John writes of it. And John's gospel. And John's gospel is different than the other three gospels. And he's in John chapter 3. Now, in John chapter 2, you remember it's the wedding at Canaan. And Jesus performed miracles, people were believing. And then out of nowhere, Jesus says he don't accept everyone. That he knows who believes or committed, or their commitment is for real. I know all men's heart. And so that's in chapter 2. So you have this big growth movement, people are excited about Jesus. And then he turned around and said, nah, y'all following me for the wrong reasons. Y'all got the wrong intent. Then you get chapter 3 with Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus is the best of the best of the best of the best. He's one of the religious elites. He is a Pharisee by practice, by activity. He's the kind of believer you like to see. The kind that attend everything, gives to everything, but this, all of that, from a child up. His father was probably some steward at the church, so he grew up right up under his father, always working in the church. And for Nicodemus, he believed it, and it was true in his life, that if you follow the law, if you follow the law, you can find righteousness, you can find favor with God. Many of them don't even try, you know, just like today, you know, the principles of Christianity hasn't changed for 2,000 years. And people think that somehow every year we're going to do some new twist to it. No, it's the same book. It ain't changing. And it's the same principles that brought us, the same principles that are keeping us, the same principles that will carry us on. And so Nick, in this conversation with Jesus, is really a conversation about works versus grace. But what do you do? I mean, you know, I see a lot of myself in Nicodemus. Growing up in church, I just adopted some rules and just lived by them. I didn't question them. I was done with the discussion. I didn't debate them. My dad said, this is the way it is. I just took it for his word and just made decisions in life accordingly. Now, I have to tweak it a bit because he was my dad, and I had more education, had different experiences. But I learned how to be likened unto a Pharisee, and it protected me. What the Pharisees did was they knew the law was important. They knew the law was sacred. The law was from God and that you shouldn't break the law and all of that. But what they did is like what we do is put rules around it. You know, murder is wrong. That's against the law. But carrying a knife causes murder. So let's put a rule about carrying a knife. So if we stop people from carrying knives, we can stop people from killing. That's how the Pharisees work. If we put all these rules in place about work, then nobody will work. If we do all this, you have all these rules to protect you from breaking the law. It's decent principle. It works in life. Got me through most of my life. You know, just don't do it. You know, all my friends would go and do things. If their parents tell them not to do, they'll do it. I just wouldn't do it. Now, I'm not up here telling y'all that I was perfect. No, I was cleverer than that. I just thought better. But this conversation with Nicodemus just reminds me of all of those little things, all of those little discipline things, like Saturday morning, go clean up the church. Well, that regulated my Friday nights. And if you are a high school football star like I was, Friday nights was a thing in Texas. But because I had that chore on Saturday morning, I would leave the game, go home, go to bed, because I had to be up at 6 in the morning to go clean up the church. It never dawned on me to change my Saturday nights. Now, it took a little longer. I was grown before I realized I had to give up some Saturday nights. But it was that level of just discipline kind of stuff that cleaned up my Friday night. So I thought I had to party only one night a week, which made me better than everybody else. Because they party two times a week. And that's Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a good guy. And here Jesus comes along, not with a different message, but a higher message. Yeah. A higher message from God. He didn't come up through the ranks. He wasn't certified by nobody. Nobody ordained him. Nobody licensed him. Nobody checked him out. Nobody venting him. But the people begin to follow him. And Nicodemus, a concerned steward of the people, he goes and have this conversation with them. And he's up front. It reminds me, because Jesus, right off the top, tells him, "Ye must be born again." Now, this is not a class for new members with Nicodemus. This is a profound lesson that we have to continue to struggle with, our works versus dependence on the grace of God. There's a place for our works. Our works will speak for themselves, but we can't rely on them works. We have to rely on the grace of God. I guess that's my time. It's a time to pray. Let us pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Father, we come to you on this final night of 2025. We thank you. We thank you because we can look in the rearview mirror of where you brought us from. You brought us in hospitals, through hospitals, out of hospitals. You had us go visit the gravesite a few times, but you brought us through it to right now. Through sickness, disease, through heartache and pain, through air conditioned malfunctions, you brought us to this appointed place and this appointed time. And for that, we are deeply grateful. And we know, dear Heavenly Father, that you didn't bring us this far just to leave us, that you have great things in store for us. You placed them in your people. You placed them in their hearts. You placed them in their minds, and we are grateful. We pray right now to Heavenly Father that you look beyond our faults, though they may be many. We pray right now that you bless us with your riches that are in glory. Bless us individually. Bless us as we go back into our various worlds of influence, those who look to us to pray for them. Give us strength, dear Lord, especially in times when we are weak ourselves. We know, dear Heavenly Father, that we can't walk this highway by ourselves. That we are called to walk together. We're called to pray for one another. We're called to forgive one another. But more importantly, above all, we're called to love one another. You let us, reminded us that it's by our love that people will know that we are your disciples. It won't be by our works. It won't be by our uniforms. It won't even be by our speech. It'll be because of our love for one another. People will know that we are your disciples. And so we pray right now that you will bless us, that we'll be able to love one another in the way that you loved us. And we will give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. We just stand in the need of the blessing. Like we did in 2025, we needed you. In 2026, we need you more. Walk with us, talk to us, hold our hand, lead us and guide us. And we promise to follow you. Watch, keep us. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.